financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rahm.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. I'm Frances Rahm, the Money Doctor. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to be talking about back-to-school shopping, how to save money, and how to stay safe while you're doing that online, and what to look for when you're shopping in person. So we're going to talk about how to save money, how to do this safely if you're shopping online, and if you're shopping in person, things you need to know to keep yourself from overspending and to buy the proper products. Hopefully, this will be some helpful information to you about how to save money and shop safely and get the most bang for your buck out of that annual go back to school shopping spree that parents and students are all doing right now. So first things first, shop early if you can. If you haven't already started to shop, please start shopping right away. Now, you don't usually hear me say, please go shopping right away. But in this case, I'm going to say that because we could be looking at some supply shortages. And also, if you want to get the best prices and the best selection, shopping early is one of those ways to do it. Now, I've developed an acronym for this shopping spree that I'd like to use, and you may hear this again a little later in the show, but it's CALM. Not calm like keep calm and carry on, but close. So I'm going to say CALM is careful access to learning materials and machinery. In other words, those laptops that everybody's trying to get and things like sanitation wipes or paper towels or whatever it is that you're stocking your dorm room with or sending your kid off to school with, I'm going to lump those all together and call them learning materials and machines. So when you start to get frantic and you feel like you're never going to get through this season, just back up and remember that acronym for CALM. Okay, let's talk about some tips that will help you do this safely and affordably. The first is, although about half of the people surveyed said that they prefer to shop online, the Better Business Bureau, although they still support shopping online, is saying that one of the safest ways to not get scammed and to get a good deal is to shop in person. Now, this ties into the last show we did about shopping locally. And so, you know, anybody listening to this hopefully will feel that support if they're a local business owner. But I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because when you shop in person, you not only get a face, you know they're not an imposter, you know they're not scamming you, or at least you hope they're not scamming you. But, you know, there's something special about picking something out in person. Now, again, just to come clean on this, I'm as quick as anybody else to shop at a big box store or at online. Although when I can, I prefer to shop locally. So there's a litany of things you can do. Of course, the obvious things, you know, compare prices and, you know, make sure that you're getting the best deal. I'm sorry, it is a busy time of year, even for me, and my phone is blowing up next to me. But what I would say is, of course, you want to compare prices. That's a no-brainer. I hate that phrase, but there it is. But you want to find opportunities to use things like coupons. Maybe sign up for those email alerts, as much email as we all get. But those alerts might, you know, tell you that there's a special sale coming up. So think about that. Try to redeem any cash back or rebate offers that you have. And don't forget to check the store policies. So this isn't so much about saving money as it is about not wasting it and about not getting stuck in something. So store policies, what I'm talking about is returns. What if you have to return something or get a refund or redeem something? You know, is this a final sale? Are you buying a used item? Are you buying a refurbished item? So many things to check on there. You know, a lot of this comes down to common sense, of course. Make a shopping list. You know, how many times do we all say this to ourselves? And maybe we do it, maybe we don't. Maybe we make a list and that's just a loose starting point and anything we want gets suddenly added to the list. But try and make your list when things are calm. When you and your student are having conversations about what you will need, not when you're in the store saying, oh, and this looks really good. Oh, wouldn't that be good for you for school? Or wouldn't that be cute in your dorm room? So if you're looking, now you can spend as much money as you want on this. That's up to you. But if you're looking to cut costs or to keep things in an affordable range, a list is imperative. So not only do you want to make a list, you want to then prioritize the list. For instance, maybe the student has to have a laptop or a tablet, but they don't have to have something else that's further down the list that you thought would be particularly nice for them, but it's not a top priority. And then you can take your list, just go down them and assign a budget to them, each item. So, you know, the things that are the most important will get the highest priority for your dollars. That's how it should work. And if when you're doing your research, which you should do, of course, you recognize that, you know, laptop or a tablet is going to cost you X number of dollars, and that's a large part of your budget or a large part of your affordable fund that you're going to use for this, put it down because it's going to remind you that you can't just keep spending money endlessly. Although you can, you're going to put it on a credit card and pay a monster interest rate for it eventually. And I'll get to that in a moment, but try and keep a list, a prioritized list and a budget. Of course, I'm going to recommend that you do this with your student. If the student is even close to old enough to start learning about money all the way up through college and grad school, this should be a cooperative discussion so that they're learning by through experience and through your leadership of how this happens. Because really, people feel panicked at this time of year, like, oh my gosh, September's coming faster than we thought. Oh no, they're actually going in on Labor Day weekend, you know. You know, it's easy for that stuff to really creep up on you. And when it does, people feel panicked. And when you're panicked, you don't make wise decisions. You make knee-jerk decisions, expensive decisions. You buy way more things than you need, and you buy the wrong things at the wrong places very often, which is where I'm headed next. Okay, let's talk about shopping online. Shopping online is up 37% year over year, according to a study on that. So why do people shop online? Obviously, because it's so convenient, but also because they think they're going to get the best price. And sometimes they do. However, the scam artists out there are well aware of this increase, and they scramble to get your dollars too. So let's talk about a few things you can do to keep yourself safe. Okay. The first is, you know, check that little address in the address bar at the top of your browser. Check it for the letters https://. Okay. That S is for secure. It's going to tell you that you're at a secure website. That alone is not enough. You could be at a secure website built by a scammer, but it is one thing to look for. Okay. Another thing to check is, of course, the actual address. So here's where it gets really muddy. A lot of big box stores, and you've probably seen the ads lately about Bed Bath & Beyond has gone out of business, and you can buy all this stuff really, really cheaply from Bed Bath & Beyond. It's probably not Bed Bath & Beyond at all. Walmart is another one who allows third parties, people to sell their products, right? So when you're at a Walmart site online, it might be delivered to Walmart or it might be delivered to your home, but it may be coming through a third party that has coordinated with a company like Walmart to sell you products. Some of the huge portals are the best examples, an Amazon or an eBay or something like that. Okay. One of the things that scammers do is they grab logos, colors, language, address things that are close but not perfect, anything they can to dupe you into believing that you are on the actual website of the brand that you want to be buying something from. They are really clever at it. If you've ever gotten scammed by one of these, you shouldn't feel embarrassed about it. They're getting so good at it. I saw one the other day. I forget what the address was, but let's just say it was abcstore.com. And I saw one that was abcstore1.com. Who's going to notice that unless you're looking for it? Okay. So that's an example, obviously. So please, please be safe. I'm sure we'll probably talk more about safety here in a bit. But in terms of money saving, definitely look for those opportunities to combine store sales with manufacturer rebates, discounts, coupons, whatever. Now, if you're a student or if you're a senior, not a senior as in a senior citizen, then you may well have access to discounts that you're not aware of, or even places that you can shop at that are discounted. So don't be afraid to ask for these. And I'll go over some details in the second half, but don't be afraid to ask for these discounts. Flash your student ID and see, oh, by the way, is there a discount here? Even if you're a professor, is there a discount for anybody with a .edu address? And you'll find a lot of places have them. I think Dell Computers is somebody that comes to mind at the moment for offering a student discount to anyone. I think with a .edu address, you can check me on that. But I'm sure there are others as well. So I'm a Mac user, so I don't always know that. But I would say, one of the most important things if you're looking for, say, a laptop or a tablet, is to make sure that you're not getting yourself into trouble by not having the technology you need to run that or overbuying what you need. So first of all, check with your child's school if they're going to be using it at school, and then check the specifications on the laptop or iPad to make sure it's going to run properly on your network at home. Maybe you need higher speed broadband to be able to really do the things that the student is going to do if they're studying at home. And the school will tell you what's required if you talk to the school about it. But that is really important. You might end up being very disappointed. You buy this great fast, computer that's able to do whatever video game creation because that's what they're studying, and you find out that your internet speed is too slow, and now you've got to have an additional cost and a delay in time to get that internet speed up. When you're researching the brands, check for the warranties and for any reviews, but look for credible places. The internet is it's a great resource if you use it safely, but if you don't, it's really a dangerous place. So more on that when we come back. Want a financial landscape you can see over? This is what it feels like to work with a HUG financial coach. HUG Your Money, so unique, it's patented. For more information, visit hugyourmoney.com. Welcome back. This is Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. I'm Frances Rayum, PhD, the Money Doctor. And I'm here without Jess today. So I hope that I won't bore you alone, but that you'll get some helpful information. And I'd love to get any feedback you have about this topic, which is shopping for back-to-school supplies. My acronym, Careful Access. Careful Access to Learning Materials and Machinery. Machinery being the electronics that we're all so used to using, whether we're studying at home or at school. And before the break, I mentioned that the internet can be a very dangerous place to shop. And we were talking a little bit about, keeping yourself safe, looking for that HTTPS in the subject line, making sure that that address bar really says that you're at the site that you expect to be at. So if you're shopping at ABC Store, it better say abcstore.com. Might say .org, .edu, depending on where you're going. So since we're talking about students, I want to cover a little psychology here, and it has to do with students and parents. When I say don't forget to ask for a deal, don't forget to say, is there a discount? There is something about that that for many people feels embarrassing or makes you feel like you are inadequate, that you don't want to ask for that discount. But really, this is your money. And you are either working very hard for it and trying to make your way through school, or you're working very hard for it and trying to help your kids make their way through school. This is one of those places where you got to just buck up. Okay. You got to be a little brave and put me in your pocket and say, Francis said it's not only okay to do this, it's the right thing to do. To just ask. You don't have to beat people up. You don't have to complain to them if they don't have a discount. Just simply say, I'm shopping for a student, or I am a student. Do you offer any student discounts? As simple as that. And you will be amazed at how much money you save on this sort of thing. Even things like a AAA membership will give you a discount. Has nothing to do with students, but if you don't ask for it, you won't get it. So if you're, let's say you have to check into a hotel while your kid's going back to school and you're trying to get them settled, ask at the hotel, do you offer a AAA discount if you're a AAA member? Do you offer a senior discount? You know, if you're over 65, a lot of places offer them over 55. I remember being a little disappointed in understanding that I was a senior for some places at age 50. So, you know, it's an opportunity for places to be competitive when they offer these discounts. So if you don't ask about them, you won't know about them. So no shame there, please. Students and parents, remind each other that you need to ask about these discounts. Okay. Some money-saving things that you can do either in person or online. One of them is to you know, combine your efforts with other parents or other students so that you can get a bulk price on something. Maybe six of you in the neighborhood need to buy laptops. They're all going to similar schools. They all need similar kinds of, you know, machinery, whatever, equipment, electronics. See if you can get a discount if you buy all six of them together. You might be well surprised. Ask your school. Ask the school that the student is attending. Do you have any programs, any discounts? You have used or refurbished machinery that somebody sent in the last year or left here that is still, you know, operable and can be upgraded to proper use. You might save a lot there. I know, everybody wants brand new and they want it now. But you know what happens if that's not affordable in cash? It ends up on a credit card, which leads me to talk about credit cards for a moment. So if you have to put things on a credit card, I want you to use a 0% credit card if you can find one. And I know you will want to pay that off before the interest accrues and comes home to roost. And that may be possible and it may be prudent, but if that can't happen, or if you want to see how you could still pay very low interest, even after they whack that high interest on there, you can contact us and we'll help you through with that. Where a credit card is very useful is for protection. And so even if you pay the item off right away or off in a month or two, I want you to always use a credit card if you have one when you're buying things. It offers a level of protection that buying it in cash or writing a check might not offer. So if you buy, let's say we'll use a scenario where you're shopping in person and you buy, again, a laptop. Okay, you buy the laptop and there's a problem with it. Maybe the business owner you're dealing with says, oh no, you forgot to check our rules and no, we're not going to take that back. If you really run into a hiccup, you can call your credit card company and they'll jump in and help to resolve the issue. So credit cards have their place, and that's one of them, is just to really, really to offer you some protection. Now, you can also use payment services that offer buyer's protection so that, you know, if you pay through this card, you will get an extra year or two warranty or some other protection. Remember to look at those things. I mean, you know, these electronics are going to get bounced around a lot. They're going to go from a bus to a school to a dorm and back again, and things happen. So look for that buyer's protection and see if you can save yourself from a headache down the road. When we're talking about online safety, I talked a little bit about scammers lifting this information from a website. And I can tell you personally, we once had to send legal letters to another advisor who lifted an entire page off of our site colors, everything. Just changed the header to their logo. That was it. And, you know, they do it for a reason. They do it because they're lazy. They don't want to make money, honestly. They don't have a product to sell. I'm sure that if Jess was here, she would have probably told a story about a time that she ordered something that she shared with us online one time on the air. She ordered something because the price seemed really good. It didn't seem quite too good to be true. It still was relatively expensive, but yeah, you know, this looks really good. It's a pretty good discount. And she ordered it. And of course, it never arrived. And it was several hundred dollars of an item. And there's a lot of this going on. So if you're scrolling through the internet and you get a pop-up that says, hey, you're looking for laptops. We got this great laptop. You need to, first of all, check and make sure it's a company you really know, a legitimate site, not a scammer. So try to shop for brand names for big ticket items like this, because there's a lot of scams out there, or a BBB wouldn't be talking about it. And then, you know, make sure that it is the product you want, that you're not getting duped into. I know you're looking for instance, a Mac, but we have this computer over here and we think it's just as good and it might do what you want it to do, but was it what you were really shopping for? Or did you become enticed by some ad that perhaps brought you to a scammer's website? So you give up your hard-earned money and you never get the laptop. And when we're talking about shopping for school, you just can't afford to have that happen. You need to know that those supplies and products are going to be here in time for you to start class. So again, shopping in person might be your friend here. But if you are shopping online, you can do it. Just be wary of those kinds of things. There are supply drives. Some communities are setting up supply drives. So you could check with your school, your community center, you know, your local government, and see if anybody is having a supply drive. Also, if you can afford to donate equipment, whether it's a drafting set or it's a laptop or it's, you know, hand sanitizer and paper towels. You know, those things are usually welcomed by people who need those supplies, which leads me to remind you that you can shop at budget places. Like if there's a survival center in your area, that money goes right back into the same community usually. Sometimes there's a food pantry there, whatever. And so think about both sides of that. How can you benefit from that? If your child is going to school far away from you, it might be good to do a little recon over there about how can they take advantage of something like a food pantry if they need it, or keep their costs down, things like that, while making sure that that it's comfortable for everybody involved. But there should be no shame in this sort of thing. This is what we pay taxes for. This is why we donate. Okay, we want people to utilize those programs. That's what they're there for. Obviously, I'm going to say if you can buy anything in cash, buy it in cash. You know, why pay interest if you don't have to? But first, put that credit card in the middle and then just pay it off before you have a problem. Once the charge is on the credit card, even if you pay it off tomorrow, it doesn't matter. The credit card's in the middle. They will help you if you have a problem. Not too many layaway plans exist anymore, but every now and then somebody will have one short term for back to school. But you might be able to do that. You might be able to pay a little bit a week for the next few weeks until school starts. I talked a bit about group discounts, but, you know, get a bunch of people together, see what you can do. Shop at stores that are like wholesale clubs for bulk items and split them up with other people that are going to school. You probably don't need 48 rolls of paper towels right away in your basement, but somebody else might take six. Someone might take eight. You might work that out. So I think that's really a valuable thing to remember. There are stores that offer programs and discounts that are great for students. One comes to mind immediately. I was in an Ocean State job lot, which isn't everywhere in the country. It's a Rhode Island chain and it's spread across to New England states. But Ocean State job lot is a lot like a Big Lots, or it's not quite like a dollar store, but it's a bargain kind of a store. And Ocean State Job Lots has something called a crazy deal. And it really is a crazy deal. It's not an advertisement for Ocean State. I'm not connected to Ocean State in any way. But as I was checking out the other day, I saw that they had a backpack program, backpack supplies, things like that. And what the deal was is if you bought the backpack for $20, they would donate a backpack, brand new, to a student who needed it, and they would give you a $20 card to spend on anything you wanted in the store. That's pretty nice from a store. And that's why they call them crazy deals, right? So that's a pretty great deal. So, you know, you could think about doing that if you're able to donate something like that that's useful to students in the area, that money stayed locally. If you want more information about this, you really could go online anywhere, but Better Business Bureau at BBB.org has a lot of information there. Many of the things I've told you about avoiding scams and shopping well and all of that are from them. Of course, lots is directly from me as well, but I use them as a resource. FTC.gov, Federal Trade Commission.gov. You could look for scam alerts there and make sure that you're not getting in trouble. Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S. If you look up Snopes, if you Google Snopes, you could say, I saw this thing. The price looked too good to be true. Is this laptop at abc.com for $200 legit? And they'll tell you the percentage of people, the percentage that it might be a scam and why. If you find any of these scams, please report them, at least to the BBB or to FTC, because if we don't report them, they just continue to perpetuate. And pretty soon, we're not going to be able to shop for anything and know where we're at. I mean, they're already spoofing phone numbers and calling you from phone numbers that aren't the real person. You're already getting robocalls from, you know, robots instead of people, and they're scamming people like crazy online. So, you know, the best thing we can do is to fight back about that. And really, that's about, you know, calling out these fake websites. But in any case, no matter what you do with this information, I just hope that you can stay away from any fraudsters. If you're shopping online, shop safely. If you're going in person, great, but don't forget in either case to check on any discounts. Check with your neighbors, pool together for some group discounts, and you know, whatever you do, we want this to be a pleasant experience. You should be focused on the school experience and not trying to get your money back from some scammer somewhere. So whatever you're doing, whatever you're spending right now, I know you want to say, whew, when we get through this, they'll be all set. They'll be in school and we can get back to our regular expenses. But it won't happen. There will be, I promise you, there will be more expenses that will crop up that you did not see coming. And so if what you want to do is have a way to manage your money, including managing your debt, not necessarily only getting rid of your debt, although we do a lot of that. But if what you want to do is manage your money, you need to talk to a good financial coach and learn some skills that that most of us are never taught in terms of budgeting, in terms of control, in terms of debt management, good shopping, things like we talk about on the show, but on a one-on-one basis so you can really benefit from personalized, customized advice. So I would encourage anybody to reach out to a good financial coach, not necessarily a financial advisor who often will talk to you about investments, but somebody who does, somebody who's well-versed in that basic work of budget, debt, retirement, estate planning, somebody who can work with a team, work with your attorney, work with your accountant. If you can find a good person like that, I think it's worth a lot to you. And just learn along the way and then pass that on to the next generation. So thank you for watching Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, even though I was all by my onesies again. And I hope that you took something great away from this. And I hope that the educational experience for you is just everything you hope it would be and a wonderful learning experience. Thank you.
Confused about student loans and those parent loans? What are the options? Your HUG financial coach can help sort it out. HUG Your Money. So unique, it's patented. For more information, visit HugYourMoney.com.
financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rahm.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. I'm flying solo today because my co-host, Jess Tyler, is feeling a little bit under the weather. And because I thought this topic is too important to table. I haven't talked about it on the air for a couple of years, and I was reminded about it because one of our young friends, Aria, she just went off to join the Navy on Sunday. And also on Saturday, my band, I'm a vocalist for those of you who don't know that, my band was playing in Orange, Massachusetts for a boat parade, pre-boat parade concert. And our bass player, Wes Brown, for that evening was wearing a Naval Academy hat. And when we asked him about it, he said that he was not in the military, but his dad was the first African-American graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, which is a pretty amazing feat. His dad lived to be 85, passed away in 2012, and was in the military for more than 20 years, was involved in Korea and the Vietnam War, and retired as a lieutenant colonel. Lieutenant commander. So, you know, these things just brought back to me the kind of service that our military provides and the diversity of ethnicity that's involved in our military. And for me personally, that goes back to thinking about their financial readiness. There's a saying that financial readiness is military readiness because a military member who is, you know, a service member who is focused on, for instance, not losing their home or, you know, paying a debt is not going to be focused on their job in the same way. Of course, everybody wants to believe that they are always focused, but in the same way that someone who is unburdened from that financial drama, if you will. And also sometimes military personnel who suffer from credit default may not be able to serve at all if they lose their security clearance. So, you know, these are important things to think about, but I don't think that it's not at the forefront when we think about military personnel. We worry about their safety. We worry about their families at home, all of that. But in fact, the money actually really matters to service members. And there are real benefits available to anybody who's on active duty, certainly. And I'm going to go over those today so that people are aware of it. So I think the first thing to remember is that any loans that you got prior to joining the service, those could be at 6%, but you have to ask for it. You have to find your unit leader and just say, do I have these benefits? You know, how do I get these benefits? Because you do have them. And they reach pretty far. Now, that could be your student loans. It could be your mortgage. It could be your credit cards. It could be anything that you're paying for that you signed up for before enrolling, like your car loan. And those could all be at 6%. In fact, there are some things that active duty service members, including reservists and members of the National Guard who are on active duty, are eligible for. And these benefits usually begin the date that you enter active duty, and they generally terminate about a month to 3 months after you're discharged. So some of the benefits are, I've got my little bullet list here. Some of the benefits are that it prevents your landlord from evicting you unless your rent is higher than, are you ready for this, $9,106.46 a month. Of course, this number changes every year. That was a 2023 number. It also stops foreclosures without a court order. So if you're on active duty, you know, your house can't get foreclosed on. Now, wow, we need to talk about that, because I have done shows with service members who have either had the personal experience or known someone who lost their house after coming off of active duty. Sure, they didn't have to pay their mortgage while they were on active duty, but guess what happened? All of that money that was owed accumulated. It built up as a default or as a debt that's due. And then they come off of active duty and bam, they get a bill for all that past due mortgage money and mortgage payments. And they can't pay it usually. And so that's extremely sad. If I could suggest any reform in this Service Members Civil Relief Act, it should be maybe Service Members Credit Relief Act for the acronym, but you know, the military, everything's in acronyms, and SCRA is Service Members Civil Relief Act. If I could recommend ever some sort of reform in this act, it would be that, you know, when somebody comes off of active duty, and they do give them some time, I think there might be a 6-month timeline or something to try to catch up, but there should be something, I think, available to all military personnel, whether they're on active duty or not, that would be an added benefit to them, in my opinion. So also, your vehicle cannot be repossessed without a court order if you made a deposit or at least one payment before you joined up. You can't be taken to court for civil proceedings. Now, I've known people who say, well, can I just join the military and get out of my, you know, my divorce or my child's support? And the hearings, yeah, you can't be taken to court while you're on active duty. And that only makes sense. They're not going to pull you off of active duty to bring you to court for your divorce. But when you come off of active duty, you know, it's back to normal. Even if you're storing all of your belongings in one of those pods or a storage center somewhere, this act prevents them from selling your belongings for overdue rent without a court order, as long as you're on active duty. So there are many, many, many more things about this that have to do with, you know, whether you are mobilized PCS, OCONUS, you know, outside of the continental United States, for at least 180 days or not. For instance, you can end a vehicle lease that you signed before joining if you're mobilized PCS OCONUS or deployed OCONUS for at least 180 days. You can terminate your telecom. So your telephone, your internet, your cable, you can terminate those telecom contracts if you have any still, if you relocate for at least 90 days to an area that doesn't have service. Lots of places don't, so, and they can't penalize you for it. You can keep your current phone number if, in fact, you cancel your service due to relocation that lasts less than 3 years. So you cancel your service, you're relocated to wherever, Liberia, and if it's less than 3 years, you can get your original phone number back. You can end a housing lease without a penalty if you deploy for 90 days or more. Even your surviving spouse can terminate a lease if their partner dies on active duty. So the idea here is to not you know, pin people down with these payments that they have to make or damage to their credit, for instance, while they're on active duty. And in fact, if you do default on your credit cards or you don't make payments on your mortgage or whatever, while you're on active duty, it cannot affect your credit. Can't harm your credit. Now, you have to remember that when you come off of active duty, if you're still delinquent, that's going to show up on your credit. And that can be a problem, especially for military personnel, not just in not getting their loans, but some jobs, as I mentioned, you won't be able to do with bad credit. This is an interesting thing. For tax purposes, you get three choices. Your military spouse can claim either the home of record, the service member's state of legal residence, or the state they're living in for tax purposes. Interesting to have that choice. So I think I mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. It limits all the interest on all your loans taken out before you join the military to 6%. If there is one takeaway from this show, it should be that. Get to your unit leader if you have debt and it's higher at 6% and say, look, I want to get my benefits under SCRA and have my percentages lowered to 6%. Now, I believe that's not even active duty. I think that's just a service member straight across the board. If you're in the service, you can get 6% on all those loans, but you've got to ask for it. Also, if you use any of your SCRA rights, as I talked about, to delay your payments, then it won't affect your credit report. So you have other rights under this guideline regarding property taxes, federal taxes, life insurance, and financial or legal penalties even, and court proceedings, et cetera. But you have to check with your unit legal officer for the specifics. So I hope this part is helpful. I'd like to talk more about, what happens for people in the military, that diverse culture I'm talking about, why so many people are affected by that, by being credit invisible, for instance, when we come back.
Want to know what it would feel like to be financially unburdened? Let your HUG financial coach help you take a load off. Do it for yourself and for those you love. HUG Your Money. So unique, it's patented.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. We are talking about military personnel today and the benefits that they may have, whether or not on active duty, under the Service Members Civil Relief Act, SCRA. So I think this is very important for people to remember and for families to listen to and relay this information to anybody that you know is in the service, because it could make a big difference to them. If you can imagine being deployed or being far away from home or being on active duty, or, suffering any of the fallout, if you pardon that pun, that military personnel deal with on a daily basis. I mean, that's a rugged, important, difficult life. And if you add to that the stress of financial worries, financial burdens, it's going to take its toll somewhere. And I think those of us who have ever just had a financial problem that caused them not to sleep or to find that their memory is, not as strong as it would have been. They're doing foolish things because they're distracted all the time. You don't want to be doing that with a weapon in your hands or your life at stake. So anything we can do to limit the monetary stress that personnel, military personnel suffer, I think is incredibly important. To that end, I want to talk a little bit about some statistics. Because I mentioned before the break something called credit invisible. And there are statistics that show that a third of our nation, a third of the people in America are what we call credit invisible. That does not mean they have bad credit. It means they don't have any credit. And anybody who's ever tried to just get a loan without credit is incredibly frustrated by the fact that maybe they've paid cash for everything in their life, and so they don't have a credit history. So they're very, very trustworthy, perhaps, but they can't prove it on paper. And so we talk about how to build credit for people in that situation. But largely, that sector, that credit invisible sector, is made up, believe it or not, of Black and Hispanic individuals. Now, that is not a stereotype. It's not that all Blacks or all Hispanics don't have credit. Of course not. But it is an injustice, I think, in my view, that many people in those of that ethnicity don't get the same information that some other people seem to be getting. And I don't like it. I'm trying to do anything I can to improve that. But it is a statistic fact right now that largely that third is made up of credit invisible people, is made up of Black and Hispanic people. Now, the reason I'm talking about that in a show when we're talking about military benefits is because the statistics in the military are very interesting when we look at that ethnicity and what people are not do not have available to them or don't know about. And that's why we're talking about SCRA today. So for instance, I could only get the statistics as early as recent as 2019, unfortunately, because this is a slow moving system. But in 2019, the proportion of the military in the United States that was Black, 28.92% and 16.94%. Now, guess which one were men and which was women? The women made up 28.92%. Black women in the military, 28.92%. Black men in the military in 2019, 16.94%. This is a lot of people we're talking about. Now, when we look at Hispanic, 21.39% of the women in the military were Hispanic and 17.9% of men. So now when we start to look at this sort of racial divide, this unfortunate credit invisible thing that we have going on, and we link that to what our statistics tell us are credit invisible and what portion of the military are also in the same categories, then I think it becomes even more important for us to be talking about SCRA, because it doesn't see color. It doesn't care. If you're in the military, you got this shot at this, right? You can get 6% on all your debts. You can keep them from foreclosing on your home. You can, you know, things you can do here, whether you're on active duty or not active duty, you have to ask your unit leader about that, and they'll get you to the right area so that you can learn what benefits you have available. I also want to talk more about this because, and please understand me, again, it isn't necessarily color related, but the statistics, which is what, you know, I cut my teeth on statistics, because they tell us something about where the inequities are or where things are going well or going wrong. The statistics show that Black and Hispanics also take on more payday loans and more loans at high interest rates because many of them are credit invisible. And if you've ever known anybody who's taken on a payday loan or a loan at a very high interest rate, even a credit card at a very high interest rate, what you know is that it's extremely hard to pay that off in any sort of reasonable time without, even if you pay it off, you're just paying a ton of interest. And it just seems, quite honestly, it seems sad to me. I don't want people who are trying to make ends meet have their only safety net is some ridiculous payday loan or high interest loan. I mean, payday loans, I've done shows about this, and if you look them up, they're an interesting topic all their own. Payday loans have, you know, APRs, right? Interest rates effectively for the whole year that are, you know, upwards of 400%. I remember one was 1,200%. And I called the company directly and I started to ask them questions about it as if I were a candidate. And I got the biggest story. Oh my gosh, the story they told me was, oh, well, you know, you're only going to pay this for a short period of time. You give us your checking account information and then we'll just debit the payments from your checking account, etc. When I said to them, but that's 1,200% interest in a year. How is that legal? Well, first they give you a song and dance. Well, you know, it's not really that much because you're not going to pay it for very long and blah, blah, blah. Well, it is that much. That's the APR when you start calculating those things, even at 400%. How is this legal? And what I learned was that it's legal usually because those companies are often run by somebody that is in some way listed as a sovereign nation. So ironically, right, we have a minority sovereign nation population running payday loan companies who give loans to minorities at ridiculously high interest rates. Don't get me going. I'm on an Andy Rooney rant. I'm dating myself there. But I just think that, you know, this is so important that our military personnel are not out there under the strain that they're under on a normal daily basis, far away from home, dealing with difficult things. Even the National Guard, it always fascinates me that the National Guard, these people work regular jobs on a daily basis, and then bam, they get deployed and suddenly they're carrying weapons and you know, driving tanks and doing what they do to keep us safe. And it's really, it's unthinkable to me. My hat is off to anybody who's ever joined the military, voluntary or involuntarily. I cannot conceive of what that lifestyle must be like. And the only thing that I can do, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny little thing, but if I'm reaching anybody about this, the only thing that I can do to try and help alleviate some of that strain that I know of is to reach out and say, I will help military personnel with their finances. And this is one way for me to do that. Of course, that, you know, anybody can reach out to us at our office and get help anywhere in the world. All our appointments are virtual. Doesn't matter where you are, as long as you have service, we can do it. And we can help your families as well, because nobody does this alone. You may feel very alone in the military, but I promise you, there's somebody back home who cares about you and who cares whether your finances are working or not. And that leads me to another point that happens very often. Somebody's in the military, there's somebody back home that maybe doesn't have their best interest at heart, but is taking advantage of these benefits, like not paying the mortgage because they can, you know, they cannot be evicted or foreclosed on, maybe not paying their rent, you know, avoiding a car lease payment or something like that. And the service member has no idea. They just don't know what's going on. They're busy, you know, being a service member. And then they come home and they discover this disaster. And I have heard this story far too many times. Oh, I just got the chills thinking about that. But it's true. I've heard this story so many times. And it's just wrong. I mean, I could come up with other words, but it's just wrong that you're there protecting your country and fighting for our freedoms. And you come home to find out that your freedom has been encumbered by debt and by maybe mismanagement of your funds and by benefits that you had, which now just, poof, they just disappear when you're off of active duty and you're left holding the bag about what you can do with that. So, you know, I know this isn't a terribly upbeat show for you all, but I'm hoping that it's a very relevant and I hope prudent topic for you. I think it might be important to talk about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the Military Lending Act, the Federal Trade Commission, places that you can go to get information about what your benefits are. The Military Lending Act, for instance, limits the amount that they can charge non-active service members for credit cards to, you know, are you ready for this, 36%? I'd like to see more progress with that. I don't think anybody should be charged 36% for a credit card at all, never mind our military, but it was progress. There was a time when these lenders would sit right there on the base and offer credit cards to people who were, you know, in need of it right away without ever leaving the base. And there are other benefits for military in the Military Lending Act as well, including the payday loans, which are capped at 36%. So for whatever this is worth, you might want to just Google that Military Lending Act, MLA, and read up, maybe check the Federal Trade Commission, FTC.gov website, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, which has been stripped of a lot of its power fairly recently, but I think I hope will continue to be able to protect consumers. And that includes people in the military, of course. So check that stuff out and educate yourself about this, because you really may have far more benefits than we're even talking about today. And of course, I want you to get the most accurate and up-to-date information possible. So get your phone out, your iPad, your laptop, whatever, and start Googling this stuff.
If you're in the military, you should know about your rights and benefits under SCRA. Managing your finances is more complicated while you're enlisted. So speak to your unit legal officer or contact HUG today and get back to what you do best, protecting and serving the ones you love. Thank you for your service. Your HUG financial coach is ready to help. HUG your money. So unique, it's patented.
If you know anyone in the service, please share this with them so that they can get the details out of it and they know what to do and where to go to ask for help under the Service Members Civil Relief Act. And I suppose as a woman, I will say I was pleasantly surprised by the statistics of how many military personnel were women, particularly among Black and Hispanic service members. And I think maybe this is not, maybe this isn't a fact, but my experience tells me that women deal with money, their relationship with money in general, of course, women have a different way of looking at it than men have. And sometimes that's very proactive and logical, and they're great at it and everybody's happy about it. And but usually underneath there, it means they're managing stress at a high level. And they're probably not talking about it. They're probably not, especially for somebody in the military who is, you know, they spend every day eating, living and breathing. I can do this myself. You know, I'm part of a team, but everybody relies on me. I'm getting it done. Well, when it comes to money, that's not as easy as it seems, especially if you're focused on other things that, you know, may be more important to you at this time. So just a little note that we're here to help anybody, of course, but certainly service members about this. And so, you know, if you have trouble getting into a virtual meeting, that's just fine. We can email, we can text, you can get somebody at home to meet with us and they can relay the information, whatever is the case. So one last thing I'd like to say is if you're in the military and you've experienced any of the things I'm talking about, whether it's a good story or bad story, whether it's upbeat or it's really dramatic, I would love to hear from you. And there's a chance that we might set some sort of a show up like this, maybe with a group, maybe with one or two people to talk further about this, because I think it is an important topic and one that I'm happy that we got a chance to cover today. So please write in with your questions, which I don't get to see ahead of time, to J. Tyler, that's the letter J, T-Y-L-E-R, at WHMP.com, and we'll answer them on the air. And if we do, you get a copy of my book, Retire Debt and Retire Well. Or you can just write to us at info@hugyourmoney.com, and we're happy to answer your questions directly. You just need to let us know if it's okay to use it on the air or you just want us to answer it privately. Either is just fine. And you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com. That's hug, like everybody needs a hug, yourmoney.com. Or you can call us at the office at 413-773-3333. We'll be back next week with another episode of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, hopefully with my co-host Jay Tyler, Jess Tyler again. Hopefully she's feeling better. Thank you. Be well. Stay safe. Would you like to see your business on Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor? We offer a 15-year proven track record. We have limited openings, but are currently seeking sponsors and guests. Is your business a good fit? We'd like to start a conversation. Contact us today at 413-773-3333 or info@hugyourmoney.com.